A very good evening on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Kesubas Tesvav, Kesubas 15a, pagination page 29. We're dealing with a case that was described on the facing page at the bottom in the Mishnah. Maisa Betinokes, there was a story of a young girl that went out to fill a bucket of water from the ayin, from the well, Venenza, and she was assaulted. And now she's coming to us, to Besdin, and asking, after this unfortunate incident and the assault, and it's terrible, but she's asking now, what is her status halachically? Is she allowed to marry a Kohen, or has she been violated? Keep in mind that if the man who was with her was legitimate in his lineage, then she is not considered changed in status, whereas if he was of some sort of stigma, such as a mamzer, then her status would change as far as being able to marry a Kohen. And what develops in the Gemara, starting on the top of our Amud, is a principle that before we would give her authorization to marry a Kohen lichatchila, we would require a double rov in her favor to be lenient. A double rov means a double majority, and that means that, number one, the people in town are people who, whoever it might have been, but the odds are, because the majority of people in town are kisherim, are people that would not change her status. They are of good lineage. Plus, a second rove, and the second rove is that the people who come in for the market, the influx of people, are also of good lineage. Now you have something that's really interesting here, that's like a little bit uncomfortable, when we realize that we're making a calculation that whoever assaulted her, had relations with her against her will, like it's a good thing if it was a kosher person, because then it doesn't change her status. It's a very uncomfortable thing to realize that you're actually being pleased that the person who did this horrendous violation of her personally was a kosher person. Like, thank you very much. But that's the way it's going to play out once we discuss her status regarding lineage. It's to her benefit, so to speak, now that it's already occurred, if we find out, or we can estimate, that the person who was with her was kosher. So again, we're requiring lechatchila a double rov, a double majority. Number one, that the people in town are majority kosher, and number two, the influx of people are also majority kosher. And the Gemara tells us midway on the page that this is not the way we normally handle cases of doubt. We normally do not require a double rov, but maile osu beyuchsin. It's unique to lineage that lechatchila, to tell her that she could marry a Kohen, we require a double rov. About midway on the page, maybe a drop beneath midway, the first word on the line is biyuchsin, and then we begin with what is a more conventional understanding in a case of doubt of how we handle it. And this is a very famous principle that comes up many places in Shas. It's the difference between kavua and kol deporish. Kavua means that it's in place. The doubt has been created while in place. we're not sure what happened. Parish means the question has already been removed from its origin, and our question is, what happened? Let's be practical. Amar Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira said, Kol kavua, whenever you have a case that it's in place, kemechza o mechza domi, it's like 50-50. What exactly happened? Bein lekula, bein lechumra, whether it's lenient, whether it's strict, it's 50-50. However, if it's going to be a case of parish, where the item already was removed from the place, then it's going to follow rov, whatever majority is. The Gemara gives an example. Teisha chanuyos, there are 9 storefronts. Kula mochros basa shchuta, they're all selling kosher meat. Va'achas basa nevela, and one of them is selling non-kosher meat. V'lokach me'achas mehem, and he bought some meat from one of them. Ve'eni yodeya me'ize mehen lokach, and he doesn't know from which one he made his purchase. Now, how could that be? He doesn't know which one he made his purchase. Wasn't it important to him that he was buying kosher meat when he bought it? So, I'd like to suggest 2 possibilities. One possibility, he was buying the meat for his cleaning lady, for a neighbor who asked him to go shopping. And as he was shopping on the meat promenade, he didn't bother paying attention. Literally, he didn't bother paying attention whether the item that he's buying is kosher or non-kosher. Perhaps a better case might be in the land of Israel nowadays. A person is buying an item in an area that sells meat, and he saw Hebrew lettering on all of the storefronts and somehow assumed that it's kosher. And then he bought it and brought it home, and someone tells him just because it has Hebrew lettering doesn't mean it's kosher. And now he doesn't know where he in fact bought it from. The rule is sefeko osur. In doubt, it's going to be forbidden because it's considered a 50-50, because you know that you bought it, but you don't know from which vendor. Uvanimtza, but if you were to find meat on a park bench in a place where the vast majority of meat is being bought, is all kosher. 9 vendors kosher, 1 non-kosher. Halochach rarov, you're allowed to go after the majority. I don't know if you're going to be able to put the OU Star K certification on that, but halachically, if a person would do it, would cook the meat in his pots, and now wants to know what's the halacha, so if that meat was found as opposed to actually purchased by someone we know, if it's not traceable to its location, then you're going to be allowed to follow majority. Now, if I can oversimplify these 2 principles, I think it would be helpful. Why is it that if I'm the one who did the purchase, no matter what the percentages are, 9-1, it's going to be considered a 50-50 chance of which one I bought it from? Whereas, if we just find the meat on a park bench, one rov is going to do the trick for us, and it does follow majority. We don't say automatically, it's 50-50, you never know. Why is that distinction made? So, the first time that I encountered this principle, it's a fundamental principle, was in biology when they discuss if someone has 7 sons, and now the woman is pregnant with the 8th child, what are the odds that the child is going to be a boy? And assuming basic biology, X, Y chromosomes, it's 50-50, because the event is happening now, the decision is occurring now. Odds don't play a role. percentages, ratios, makes no difference. The decision is occurring now, and it's 50-50 how it's going to play itself out. And when you are buying the meat, it's 50-50. How is it going to play itself out? However, if you've already disengaged from the act, the purchase, and the meat is on the bench, this is not a decision that's being made. You could go one way or the other. This indeed is, I can give you odds where it came from. And that's why, at least in an oversimplified way, if we're tracing it to the original event, it's 50-50. The same way in my analogy, boy, girl, I don't know what's going to happen. Past occurrence has no relevance. Odds have no relevance. It's 50-50. What's going to happen right now? But if it's already out of the area and you want to know, odds are, where did it come from? Then we have a rule called the Parish, Meruba Parish, majority gives us an estimation. Rav Zeira tells us that this is true even Likula, even for leniency. And we'll do a quick example of this. The first word on the line is Ella, about 15 or 20 lines from the bottom. Tisha Shirotzim Utsfardeya Echad Beinehem. You have 9 Shirotzim, specific types of animals, rodents, that would cause Tumah. There are 8 of them, although there's a discussion how to translate the words in the Torah, but there are Shmona Shirotzim, one of them being a toad, according to Rashi. Utsfardeya Echad Beinehem. And there's one frog mixed in with them. These animals are all dead. He probably collected them to sell them at the market. V'noga be'echad mehen, and a person touched one of them, ve'eni yodeya be'eze mehen noga, and he doesn't know which one he touched. And it's very smooth to read this the way Rashi gives the example, that the 9 shirotzim are toads, and one of them is a frog. And it really is very difficult for the average person who stuck his hand in to be sure which one he touched, because to the average person, they look very much similar. Birshus ha-yochid sfeiko tome, birshus ha-rabim sfeiko tohar. We could actually, in birshus ha-rabim, where we learn that when it's a doubt, you're supposed to be lenient. We learn that from Sota. If it's in the public area, we're lenient. So if this contact with this basket, 9-1, would occur in public, we would be lenient with it. And the reason is because even though I can give you odds that you touched the sheretz, the one that makes you tameh, impure, but because it's actually happening now, it's considered a 50-50 chance. What happened? And at 50-50, the rule of Tumah, Bershus HaRabim, is to be lenient. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.